Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week on On Point. I'm your host, A-Trey. It's been that weekend, your birthday, caught up to a brother. And I wanted to welcome you back to kicking it with us one more time and sharing your views with us one more time. I also would like to say thank you to our host, our guest host, Ty Trees, Lady Trees. How are you guys this day?
Doing good, and you?
I'm good.
I'm fine. day before I turned another day older, another year older, so I'm good.
Thank
I'm glad to be here. And, because there's a couple of
there's
people who didn't do that this week, you know, today. So I have no complaints. I figure, and I make a fun joke of it, but I say any day that I can wake up and there's not a worm standing over me, holding a knife and a fork, wearing a bib, talking about, now this might hurt a bit. I'm good, as long as I ain't left with it. You know, so.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know. We're at week 28 in our first segment. I want to go to the State of Our Union. It's power in the American woman. And this week we're going to look at the position or the place and the role the American woman plays in corporate and political societies, or arenas of political America, or America, while determining if she's the equal to her male counterpart, or if she's still in line to gain the respect or recognition, i.e. in sports, business, politics, work, even education, that's deserved to her. What are your feelings on this, Lady Therese?
For one, women have came a long way. You know, it goes back, for me, what I found interesting was the 19th and 20th century. You know, back in the 19th century was more of a reform movement for women, more of activists, more political seeking. The 20th
right.
century, that gave them more, you know, more insight to things. Like, I have quite a few figures now. For one, I'm going to say all women rock. It doesn't matter what color you are, what creed, what origin, all women rock. So shout out to all the women out there that's listening. You all rock and do a good job at what you do. I found quite a few things to be interesting that I'm going to talk about today as far as education, politics, things of that sort. Also, what I found to be interesting is coming from diversityinc.com. They stated back in 1981, Congress established the first week to be celebrated for March, second week in March to be celebrated only for women, but later on
right.
in 1987, it expanded to the whole month of March. So this month right here is Women's Month, you know, so let us have on the guys'
okay.
toes this our month, okay?
Interesting.
Let us, you know,
go.
Let us
there
have our 31 days.
I know that.
So it's our month, women, so let's go ahead and do our thing here. You know, we came a long way. We still have a way to go, you know, but from back then, from the 1800s to 1900s to now, I mean, we have definitely made good strides, you know, that's for sure.
Right, right.
Here's
some things. Okay, I'm going to just put it out there. It's kind of like a fact sheet of a who's who, women's leadership gap. There's a gap in the leadership. And even though they make strides, let's I'm going to put some numbers out there to you that's kind of like big. And then I'm going to play the, you know, devil's advocate a little bit. I mean, there's myth as to the reason why some things don't transpire the way they're supposed to, or the reason why some they feel women don't actually make a stronger stand. Women make up majority of the U.S. population. They're 51.8% of the U.S. population. 51.8%. They earn almost 60% of undergraduate degrees, 60% of all the master's degrees. They earn 47% of the law degrees and 48% of all the medical degrees, 48%. That's just less than half, but they're there. They earn 44% of master's degrees in business and management, including 37% in MBAs, mostly business. They're 47% in the U.S. labor force and 59% in the college-educated or mid-entry-level workforce. And yet, although they hold almost 52% of the professional job-level market, American women kind of lag substantially behind men when it comes to the representation and leadership. They said there's 500, I think it's like 500 CEOs that would be women. A lot of them, and they said of that, 37.5% are startups. So if it's not recognized on a large scale, on a national scale, they're still there. That 14.6% are executive officers. And 8.1% of the top earners and 4.6% of Fortune 500 CEOs. Fortune 500. Yeah. Reynolds, J.R. Reynolds, what's that? C.L. Cole, Topsider, name a place. Mayco, the company, May Company. Raspin One, Google,
Pepsi,
Facebook,
yeah.
all these places, Fortune 500 companies, and they don't have a stronger stand. What do you guys feel this is?
I was going to say, Fires, with I believe that we need more unity. True and all, we are making strides, Fires, with education, you know, politics and things of that sort, and at least we are, you know, moving in the right direction. But I believe it starts with our younger generation. We need role models for them, positive role models. You know how it was with Big Brother, Big
right.
Sister, those programs. We need things, you know, people that's not afraid to influence or be a mentor to others, especially young women. It doesn't matter the color. But, you know, some
right.
women need to be guided, you know, especially the young girls who wanted to be young women. You know, I see some young women that's sometimes not the best. And then I see some that's, you know, that's on top and have their game together, and that's fine. But, you know, some of us need to be properly guided. That goes the same thing for men, you know.
What do you attribute that the gap? I mean, it's their percentages should be a little bit higher. In conjunction with what you said, in 1980 there were no women in the top executive ranks of the Fortune 100, and by 2001, 11% of those corporate leaders were women. 11%. From 1997 to 2009, women's share of board seats in S&P 1500 companies increased 7.2%. It's or 94% overall. Their share of top executive positions increased by 2.8%. That would be the equivalent of 86%. The share of companies with female CEOs increased more than sixfold in recent years. However, the general percentage of women in top management positions have all stalled. What do you attribute that to, Ty? What do you think? What are your feelings on this? Why can't they go
far? Well, I'm just, you know, sitting back learning. Each segment we have, you know, was definitely a learning experience. And, you know, I just don't have any idea.
It's your personal, you mean your personal opinion counts.
James Brown said it best. It's a man's world, so.
Oh,
you know,
there you go.
Yeah, that's.
I mean,
There you go. Y'all got double teaming. Women call me in.
No, I'm not going to double team you. He said he's going to sit back for a second. But let's look at this. Maybe, Lady Tree, they are not driven. Women,
yeah,
no doubt, are strong. Forces,
right,
to be reckoned with.
Right.
But some of them are either overly motivated or they're not motivated at all. They have too many things that they can do, so they don't do a single thing. And for the things
that
they
do,
maybe they don't do them well because of so many other things. That's just my opinion. If you don't, if someone out there is listening, you think you have an idea as to what this is, feel free to give us a call, 347-855-8662. Would love to hear your opinion. And you don't have to sit back and listen, especially if you're a lady. Feel free to give us a call. And then something else, and it's just my opinion. I think females procrastinate. I think
that's
they
right.
They,
see, I have
I think
a theory
because
on.
They have, they feel, they sometimes they go like, you know what, I don't want to do it because they find so many things that would beat them. That could beat them, or they figure maybe they're not strong enough to do it, or maybe they figure it's beneath them. Sometimes I think they don't put forth that next effort. You know,
that's true.
That's just me.
I want to say that I have a theory that, you know, back to that, this is a man's world. Thing, you know, with it being that all of the heavy building, all of the things that's strenuous are also done by man. And, you know, given that being the case, that's setting a foundation, whereas the women can be able to come in for the soft parts to add their touch. But then you have those gatekeepers who are kind of arrogant and at the point to where they just feel that she's beneath me as a female, me being a male, so she can't do this. And then, you know, you have those situations where they have to measure each other's emotional state of well-being, because there are women that can do jobs just as well as men, but put them in a physical, strenuous situation, you know, in most cases, a woman just can't cut it, whereas a man can. So with that being the case, you have that biasness of, you know, over the ancient times of civilizations, whereas a man assumes that control, whereas, you know, they put the woman where they see fit. And here we are today where things are slowly
changing.
You had
over time, there were queens, empresses, you know, princesses.
Oh, right.
If you're looking at royalty that have controlled, you know, empires, man, well, strong. But then,
right,
maybe it's just, and this is just me. I believe that sometimes females, unlike males, males, they get challenged if it were on them personally, but not for the position, because they vie for competition. They like competition. Women,
right,
have a tendency to take it personal. And they,
so with that said, maybe, you think the woman would be more quick to push the death penalty button more so than the male? The man in that case, because she's more emotional.
It's a possibility. I mean, listen, my dad said, you know, my dad said something, and he quoted just Shakespeare, just first to thine own self be true. If you know that you get pissed off every single time you hear somebody say, look at her booty. Now imagine hearing it at the workplace, out in a private conversation, and that pisses you off. And you now have a reign of authority. You have a position of authority. That person is gone.
Abuse.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion. But, you know, I mean, But even what's the young lady's name? Katie Couric said women have more astringent approach toward authority. Maybe that's what's scary. Sometimes they say, you know what? You're great here as number two. You could clean up everything. If you want something cleaned up, and that's not in the literal sense, you know, spick and span in a sponge, but if you want something cleaned up, they look at the strongest woman and they get it done. But in that same thing, it's something to be feared as well. It's like a car. You're like, wow, you know, you want to go fast? But that mug is 3,000 pounds and will kill you if it hits you. So, you know, it's not the car you want to drive every day. You know, it's like, okay. And that's just my opinion. That's how I look at it. Something else, I want a little fact. And it was kind of crazy to me because I was looking at, and it's not about color. It's not about color. But
no,
here's
not
it,
at all.
Something else that just kind of got you was this, the African-American and Latino women. Women of color, they kind of face an even wider gap. In closing, the representation of women of color in corporate leadership roles is kind of worse still, because women of color are like 36.3% of our nation's population, female, and approximately 18% of the entire U.S. population. They make up one-third of the female workforce, a third. Now, and yet, women of color occupy only 11.9% of managerial and professional positions. And of those women, 5.3% are African American, 2.7% are Asian American, and 3.9% are Latina. Now, women of color hold 3.2% of the board seats of Fortune 500 companies. Google it, feel it, find it. Go ahead, you got it. And more than two-thirds of Fortune 500 companies have no women of color as board directors at all. And it makes you wonder, is that that happenstance? Is by that accidental? Or is it
selective?
Can I say something? Sure.
I mean, for one, women, we are emotional. You know, we think with our heart most of the time. And most women are single mothers. You know what I mean? So most
right.
of the time we're stuck with our career and we're stuck with, you know, trying to raise our families. So most of the time half of us are raising our kids on our own. You know, the father is either gone or in jail or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, that kind of leaves the responsibility on the woman. You know, I was back to the website again on diversity.com, and I found a couple of interesting facts. They were saying that childless women in corporate America, they earn almost as much as the men. Single mothers, they earn much less than the men. And mothers with partners, they earn less money. It's just that it seems like, I don't know why would women earn less money. I mean, I feel like a woman can do anything a man can do. It may not be, now we may not can lift and, you know, lift heavy things or whatever, but I think that we can do whatever a man can do. You know what I mean? If we learn to stick together and be as one, you know, instead of always trying to hurt.
I can see that. I can see that, you know, that they can do a lot of the same thing. There are some things men just cannot do. They just cannot
right.
do. They don't have the capacity to. But in closing, sometimes being a family woman, and this is a topic for another day, but being a family woman, is it an excuse or is it actually the second job? Because not all single mothers have to be single mothers. Not in a bad way.
No.
Not in a bad way. It's, they don't have to be. Some choose to be. a lot of them nowadays are choosing to be single moms. And but if you choose to do that extra job, because you got single dads out there too, but if you choose to do that extra job, you can't use that as an excuse. Not that it is, but you can't use it. I just
no.
But we're going to have to revisit that one. We're going to have to revisit that. I appreciate that coming into light, and that was good information. I appreciate that. Our second segment, Behind Closed Doors.
Oh yeah.
The topic is, so you rate me by my sex. You ever wonder why, after spending that intimate moment, he doesn't call you or she doesn't call you? The conversation is different. The interest appears to have wavered. I believe that you've just been raided by your bedside performance. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot.
It does.
Have you ever been jilted because you had a bad night, Ty?
Oh well, man, you know, I don't be on the track too much to be performing often, so I don't get to, you know, get rated often, so I tend to stay in the garage, and, you know, or just that one where rating don't have any bearings at all, but, you know, it still happens though, consciously.
Yeah, it
and
does.
Unconsciously.
Have you ever been in a situation to where you all of a sudden you were talking about, hey, you know what, man, it was, oh man, everything was cool. I mean, think about it. Could that be the foundation of a relationship? I think that in a lot of cases it actually is. And we were having this conversation the other evening. You know somebody, been knowing them for a while, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden you decide you want to take it to that next level. You didn't anticipate on it, but you do.
And that's
and you
that's
have
interesting.
You have a bad night.
That's you interesting.
Know, and
that.
Ladies, I'm going to tell you, when women are anxious, it's over as it starts. It sucks to say, but it's very true. It's like, wait a minute, I've been waiting 4 years, 15 days, and 3 weeks for this. But it's true. The biology of it is this. It only takes 3 minutes, and it's all for procreation. That's the biology of it. 3 minutes. Both the bodies work in tune to make 3 minutes of this outlandishly incredible thing that can never, ever be reproduced in any other feeling. No drug on the face of the earth can replace this feeling. But only 3 minutes. Anything after that 3 minutes, that's desire and will. The desire to keep it going and the will to make it happen.
The libido.
So,
that will take the flat.
Libido, yes.
Libido.
Libido. Okay. We're going to call it a libido, y'all. Hold on. I think we have a caller. Hold on for just a moment. Good afternoon. Thank you, caller.
Good afternoon.
And welcome
to Turn
Point. Dr. Moore, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Apologies, I'm on the road. I was just listening, but now that you've brought me on, I'd like to say good morning and greet everybody.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Great. We're great. We were just talking about, so you rate me by my sex. Has it ever happened to you?
Indeed. but on the flip side, I think that we do it on both sides. I think it happens on both sides of the coin. And I think part of it is human nature, honestly. I really believe that. Because as humans, we rate everything. We've done it as a measure of survival all our lives. So
yeah,
everything
right.
that we do has to be graded so that we know if it's good or acceptable to us. I mean, if you think about, you know, way back in the days when we started picking berries and fruit, we knew that the red ones were pretty and that they were probably
right.
sweeter. We rated
right.
everything. That's you know, we have a rating classification on stakes, on cars, on safety, on men, on women. That's what
we
do. We have to have some system of measurements for the judge state.
But you ever noticed some of those things that look like they're not quite right have the sweetest taste? And some of those that look like they're overripe, some of those that look like they're overripe aren't quite good for you. I'm like, you know, now me, okay, I am 100% USD top choice, grade A, bona fide, government inspected, unadulterated, selfish. Because, you know, this is my secret. I am greedy because I'm like, okay, I need a moment of emotion. And I think actually everybody does to some degree. There's
right.
something about you that makes you, for lack of a better way to put it, perform. Mine is emotion. I thrive off emotion. I'm not talking about screamers. That's not it. I mean emotion. I get emotionally attached at that moment, and it's like this. Okay, so if you keep saying ooh, and you say that we're holding a conversation at the same moment, and a nice conversation, oh, it's this is for the rest of the evening, if possible, you know, God willing. That's just me. But then you got some people who don't like that. They don't like intimate. They like grimy.
The rush.
Gritty.
Yeah, the rush.
Bang, bang, bang.
Forced trauma with intense, wrapped in sensuality.
Bang, bang, bang. Ski, ski, ski.
That's the younger generation. That's for sure. That's sure.
Eddie Murphy said that in, I think it was in Delirious, when he first came out, and he was like, when you were 18 years of age, you had one face. He was like, and then when you got older, you had the ooh face.
Ooh. Ah. Ooh.
And you got more into it. But
Trey.
Every now and then, yes.
I concur with you, and I think, can I tie something in with that? Because I think you and I are on the same page with that.
Go ahead. You got that minute.
I look at it like food. You know me. That's my background. I'm going to tie everything in with food. But
there
I think it's like this. It's like this. When you have ice cream, I don't just gulp it down. That's something that you enjoy.
Go.
You work that ice cream. You enjoy every spoonful. You enjoy every flavor, every nuance, the smoothness, the texture, all those things. And I think sometimes we've gone to restaurants where we enjoy whatever cuisine that is. But the person we're with doesn't have the palate for it, or they haven't developed a palate for it. And they're one of those folks that says, hey, Applebee's is great. Now, there's nothing wrong with Applebee's. Not my favorite restaurant. But my thing is sometimes there's that small little joint that has that whatever dish. Like there's a little Vietnamese joint I go to that has a bowl of pho. I'm there 2, 3, 4 times a month because it's great. There's the flavor profile, there's the nuance, and there's all the different, the umami, everything that you're looking for is presented in that little bowl of soup. Whereas someone else sees that and says, hey, that's a little too exotic for me, or it's not
hold
enough.
On.
It's just
Hold that thought. We have to revisit this. Listen,
yes,
young man listening, put some time into it. Young lady listening, don't criticize it first. Give a second chance. Lady Therese, back that up. Listen, raise your glasses, toast, tops to the bottom. Every idea is great. Every thought is warranted. For every step you take and every endeavor you make, I hope and pray that they're always on point.
On point.
On point.
We'll see you next week.
Peace.